Well, the Holy Spirit was in the choosing of that song and the time. Take your Bible and go to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. I definitely enjoyed the music and what the kids did. I could never do that. I have no rhythm. When they say white boy can't dance, they were talking about me, right? No rhythm whatsoever. And just as simple as clap your hand on this beat right here, I can't do it. I just can't do it. And the kids doing it all at different times, if I just don't watch them, I can enjoy it. But if I watch them, my brain almost explodes from confusion because I'm thinking, how do they do that? But praise the Lord. I know that was a lot of hard work, and I appreciate that. Daniel chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 21. How many of you know this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know the story. Okay, but we're going to start here in verse 19, and I'm going to read the last part of the story, and then I'm going to preach the first part of the story, and then we're going to tie it together. So Daniel chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. His visage, his countenance. You could tell on his face that something changed. He was dreadfully angry. This is a very... this story, when you read it, it is so emotional. And it's so full of activity. And it keeps you on the edge of your seat. I love this story. And he says this: therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. They must have used billows. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and the other garments were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied. That's just a better way to say astonished. You should start using it. And rose up with haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O God. He answered and said, watch it carefully, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, if you have a different Bible besides the King James Bible, it'll change it there and say the form of the fourth is like a son of the gods. I like this better, don't you? It was the Lord that met them in the furnace, not just a random deity. And you know that Nebuchadnezzar was admitting that by what he says later. So they make him contradict when they change it. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king counselors being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which shall speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and wait, that's not enough, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king, what? Promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon?
Father in heaven, we're all so glad to be here, Lord. Thankful for everyone who weathered the rain and weathered the storm to arrive in their cars or canoes or however they got here. Lord, I do pray that our hearts would be open to your word. And Lord, so many hands were raised because we're familiar with this story, but that doesn't mean we know what Pastor Bez is going to preach. What that means, Lord, is that we need to break down any mental wall that we have, any preconceived notion about the word of God, and allow freedom, give freedom to the Holy Spirit to teach us something new. And Lord, I need something new. And I do pray that just like we all are sustained by breakfast and coffee, Lord, we need to be sustained by the word of God every day. I do pray your hand over Pastor Bez. I pray your blessing over the message that he has prepared via your spirit. And I do pray that our hearts and minds would be enlightened or convicted or encouraged by what we're about to hear, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Things could not have turned out better for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Could they? I mean, there's no way that it could have turned out better. The people that bound them to do them harm were killed. The Lord met them in their trial. Every important leader in Babylon saw them delivered and magnified. All the movers and shakers saw firsthand what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were made of. The most powerful man in the world at the time was not able to destroy them. The trial, the furnace, burned up the things that were holding them back. They came out of the furnace a better man. God was glorified in the highest office in the land. A heathen king bowed his head to the God of Israel and acknowledged that they were God's servants and on God's side, and they were right and he was wrong. God was mightily glorified. They were given protection from slander, and they got the top job in the land. Isn't that a blessing? Don't you wish some things like that would happen in your life? I mean, we all want to be promoted, don't we? We want things like this happen. You know, lost people would say, man, they had such a run of luck. But it wasn't luck, it was God. What kind of person has miraculous things happen like this in their life? What kind of person gets used by God to convert a king? God called Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and it was because of this moment here. What kind of person gets recognized by the king and promoted to the top job in the land? Keep your hand here and look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. Now, it said the king promoted him, but I want to submit this to you. God promoted them. Would you agree with that? The king fired them, and God promoted them. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 25. Till thou know that in the last part of the verse, it talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and he said he's going to drive him away from among man, and he's going to be eating grass like an ox. Why? Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You see that? Look at verse 32, the last part of the verse. until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Look at Psalm 75:6. We're coming right back to Daniel chapter 3. Psalm 75:6. God rules in the kingdom of men. Doesn't the Bible say that the powers that be are ordained of God? And He giveth them... Who did He give it to here? He gave it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right? Look at Psalm 75 and verse 6. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the south, west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. For He putteth down one and setteth up another. And would you agree that He set up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here, and He set them up well? You see, it wasn't the king that promoted them. It was God. It wasn't the king that recognized them. It was God. It was not the king that took the job away from the other people and gave it to Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. God set them up and He put them down. Joshua, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And you know what God did here? He began to magnify Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the sight of all Babylon, so they knew that God was with them. And because of that, they got promoted. Now let's say, I don't know if this is true in your life, but let's say you wanted to be used of God in a bigger way. Maybe you wanted to be used of God to more effectively reach the people that you work with. Maybe you want to be used of God to reach somebody that we would consider important. Or you would consider important. Maybe you would like to have God to be able to trust you with more responsibility in your professional life. Well, what kind of person does God use like this? What kind of person does God promote like this? You see, we all want the promotion, don't we? We want the extra pay. But there's some characteristics that you have to have in order for God to promote you. See, God doesn't work like the world does. He works in a different way. When you're working for God, sometimes you don't have to climb up the ladder. He just takes you from the bottom and puts you on the top. Right? Listen, God doesn't work like the world does, but if you want God to promote you, there's some characteristics you have to have, and there's some things that you have to do, and there's some things that you have to understand. God's not going to get you the job unless you're the right man for the job, if you're His child. He's not going to give you something you can't handle. He's not going to give you something that would be detrimental. But I know so-and-so, and they got... God doesn't work with us the same way He does with them. Is that true? I mean, the Egyptians were getting problems, and over in the land of Goshen, God was working with His people in a different way. Right? Well, I know this guy at work, and he's being promoted, and he doesn't have this stuff that you're talking about. God works with us different than He works with them. Are we okay with that? Well, what kind of person is somebody that God promotes? Here's some things that you need to understand while you wait for your promotion. God promotes a person that is willing to suffer. I want you to take your Bible and go to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 1. And you can scan that as I kind of tell you what happened. In verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. Okay? And here's in the plain of Dura, this is a artist depiction of the plain of Dura and the image of gold. You see a cubit there. A cubit is about 16 inches. According to these measurements, that image that he made and covered with gold was 90 feet tall. From where you're sitting to the peak is 30 feet. Okay? So three times that. 9 feet wide, and it was covered with gold at a great, great expense. Right? And then in verse 2 and 3, he gathers together the kings, the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces. You see, Babylon at the time was like America. They had soldiers everywhere. They had bases everywhere. They were ruling the world at this time. Right? All the nations of the world were subservient. They were supposed to serve Nebuchadnezzar and his kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar didn't ever think his kingdom was going to fall. And to signify how powerful his kingdom was, he made an image of his god. Probably Nabu or something like that. And all these people were supposed to come and show their allegiance and their servitude to Nebuchadnezzar by bowing to his god. And all these important people are here. And then a herald gets on the loudspeaker. And he said, listen, the king has put this image up, and he wants you to know that you're his servants, you're on his side, you're not rebels, he doesn't want to have to wipe you out, like he wiped out Jerusalem this year. If you look at history, he set this image up probably the same year that he destroyed Jerusalem. And so, guys, it's very important. He wants you to bow to this image. And later on it says you wouldn't worship the image. Bowing to an image is worshiping an image. Some people say, oh, we don't worship images. But they bow to them. And the Bible defines that as worship. So I don't know what you think worship is. But bowing to an image is something God defines as worship. So they were, he said, I want you to know that you need to bow to this image, and we're going to play a bunch of instruments. And everybody says, what's a sackbut? It's like a trombone. Okay? And a dulcimer and all these kinds of music. Every dictator has rose to power with music. Right? Music prepares your heart for worship. It's important what kind of music you listen to, and it's important that you are in a state of worshiping God when you listen to music. Because if you're not ready to worship, music prepares your heart to worship, and if you're not going to worship God, you're going to worship something else. That's just what music does. Okay? So if you're listening to music, it's preparing your heart for worship. Don't go into that flippantly. It's important. We're going to set the stage. The musicians are going to play. And when you hear them play, everybody is supposed to bow down and worship this image. And if you don't, there's a roaring, fiery furnace. Do you guys hear that? You see the flame? It's already going, because if you don't worship, you're going to be cast the same hour. That means that it's going. So they hear the roar and the music goes off and everybody bows. And there were 3 Jews that did not bow. And their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, where was Daniel? Well, he wasn't here. Or then the people that were standing next to him didn't tell on him like the Chaldeans told on him. Daniel faced the den of lions alone. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace alone. And then they were tested together with the portion of the king's meat. But you see how they faced that test is how they faced every other test. I believe Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego prayed. And I believe that if Daniel was there, he didn't bow. But there were people out to get these guys here. And there were people that were gunning for Daniel there. 3 Jews are left standing. They're not bowing. You see, God, before He promotes you, He has to test you. He has to see if you're willing to suffer for what is right. He has to test you. You want to be promoted? He doesn't have to test you to find out what you'll do, because He knows that. He has to test you to show you what you'll do. Because you need to know what you'll do if you're going to be promoted. You need to have that understanding. And if you're going to fail the test, you need to grow in that area so He can promote you. And He'll test you and He'll show you what you're made of to prepare you for the job. And they were all three there and they didn't bow. If I read the book of Jeremiah correctly, there were thousands of Jews here. Some writers have said there were as many as 70,000 Jews here. The whole world was gathered and they were all bowing and there were only three left standing. Hey, you hear the music? It's time to bow. You need to bow. Oh, it's okay. Go ahead. We're not going to bow. You go ahead. Not me. No. You got the furnace. Go ahead. Leave me alone. I'm not doing it. Everyone else is, all the other Jews bowed. Well, we are visitors in a foreign land. And when is Rome, do as the Romans. You know, we don't want to offend anyone. You know, we don't want to offend anyone. And when you're in Rome, you got to do as the Romans. And we can be better testimony if we're alive. Are you going to bow? The Lord told Elijah that 7,000 had not bowed the knee to Baal. I bet Elijah was wondering, where are they? You know, it's easy to show up afterwards and say, good job, guys, we're with you. You are, you with? No, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. We're with you. You know why all the other people bowed? Because they feared the furnace. And they didn't fear God. When a man fears God, he fears nothing else. Neither the furnace of the king, nor the faces of people. If he needs to stand, he'll stand alone. You want the promotion? You have to be tested. God has to know if you're willing to suffer for what is right and be demoted and to be cast into the furnace. You know what's interesting is we don't face giant 90-foot tall idols that people ask us to bow to. And we don't face the fiery furnace. We face the people at the grocery store. And we face the people at the water cooler and we're cowards. And we're cowards because we're not willing to suffer. No one will notice. We're in a strange land. All these people don't know the Ten Commandments. Only we know them. We're not going to offend them and be a bad testimony. They just won't even know. Look at chapter 2 and verse 49. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Can I add to this test? Can I add to this willingness to suffer that they were in leadership and they were supposed to be the ones pushing forward the king's agenda? You want a promotion? Can God trust you to do the right thing when the king wants you to rally the troops and push forward his agenda and you know God doesn't want it to be done? Can God trust you when you're alone by yourself and out of town in a hotel room? Can God trust you when your peers are watching and all the leaders and sheriffs and judges and rulers of which you are one, are watching, and they're all excited about the kingdom they're building, and you're part of that excitement? He'll test you so you can find out what you're made of. Whoever said serving God was going to be easy and getting saved and all your problems would go away was not telling you the truth. Because most of the time it's easier not to serve Him and it's easier to bow to the image because that's the easiest thing to do. It's easiest to lie. If they would have bowed, there wouldn't be children named after them and preachers named after them. And songs written about them. They wouldn't be the favorite character in many children's Bible storybooks. Everybody, so many people know about these three Hebrew children. One of my favorite preachers that you can listen to is Pastor Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. S.M. Lockridge. And he said when he was growing up he was so poor he was Shadrach Noshach. And if you go and type in on YouTube, S.M. Lockridge, there's a favorite, a famous clip of his sermon. And he says, He's my king. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. He's my king. Well, let me ask you, do you know him? And the whole sermon, he just describes God. And it's magnificent. He was named after these three boys, or two of them. God promoted them and used them because He could trust them to be loyal to Him and to do the right thing when no one was watching and to do the right thing when everyone was watching and to do the right thing under pressure. Joseph got promoted from the prison to the palace, not by Potiphar, but by God. Because God could trust him not to fornicate. He could trust him with Potiphar's money. He could trust him to have a good attitude about his authority, even in prison. And while Potiphar didn't appreciate his attitude, God did. And God promoted him where Potiphar wouldn't. You would do well to remember that it's not your boss, but it's God that's watching your attitude. Because He works different with us than with them. Does God like your attitude? He liked Joseph's. And He promoted him because he was willing to suffer in the prison for what is right. You know how you pass a test? You have to purpose in your heart, like Daniel and these boys did back in chapter 1 and verse 8, that they wouldn't defile themselves. They purposed in their heart. You have to purpose in your heart right now. No matter what happens when the trial comes, I'm going to do the right thing. You do the right thing in the small things, it makes it easy to do the right thing in the big things. And the other way around. Do the right thing. And God can promote you because He can trust you. Can He trust you? I don't know. You know. Ask yourself that question. Can God trust me? God has a shortage of Daniels and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's in leadership. He said, look unto the fields that they are white already to harvest. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. He said, there's many positions available, but there's not many people I can trust to send out. You have to have the right character. You have to be the right man for the job. Somebody asked me, how do you find the right person to marry? I said, you have to be the right person. How do you get promoted? You have to be the right man for the job as far as God is concerned. George Washington, when he was 15, he was working on his character. And he wrote down 110 rules for civility and what to do when you're in company. When in company, contradict not thy neighbor at every turn. And at 15 years old, he copied all these down and they became part of his conduct and part of his character. He served two terms as president and they said, we want you to do another term. He said, I don't want to. I want to go back home. I want to go back to the farm and to private life. God promotes a person that's willing to suffer. God promotes a person that's willing to stand. Look at verse 15 as we continue with this story. Now, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psalter, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? And look at their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. I would underline that. To answer thee in this matter. If so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. See, before God can promote you, he has to be able to trust you, and you have to trust him. See, Nebuchadnezzar put God on trial that day. And when you're with somebody on trial, you know what you're tempted to do? Put it all out on them and get out. But God trusted them, and they trusted God, and they said, we don't doubt His ability to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we still is not going to bow to your God. The God we serve, He's able, but if He doesn't, that's His business, and He knows, and we trust Him, but I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace if you disobey me and obey God. And He's not going to deliver you, but I'll deliver you. And they said, O King, we trust Him more than for our immediate circumstances. We trust Him for more than a positive, immediate outcome right now. We trust Him if He promotes us. And we trust Him if He lets us die. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. See, it makes navigating these circumstances in life much easier if God can trust you. Then whatever the circumstances that comes up, if you're trusting God instead of the king, then you say, boss, I'm not going to do wrong. And if you fire me, God can give me another job. And even if He doesn't give me another job, I'm still not going to disobey Him because I trust Him and I know what He told me is correct. And whether He wants to give me a job or deliver me or heal me, that's His business. I trust Him. And until He gives me other orders, I am going to stand on what He said. The Japanese holdout, Hiro, that we've talked about before, he stayed there for 30 years. And his commandment was to gather intelligence on the island in the Philippines. And so when this commander came back, he would know what was going on the island. And he said, if you want me to stop, the only way I will stop is when my commander comes and relieves me from duty. 30 years later, his commander came and relieved him from duty. They said, God told us not to bow. They didn't stand on their preference. They didn't stand on their pride. This is the only instance where they defied the king. But they showed us what it meant we ought to obey God rather than man. They stood for God in the face of uncertainty. Can God trust you enough to obey Him when things are not certain? God is looking to promote people that choose principle over promotion. For God to promote you, you have to trust Him. Listen, they didn't know what was going on. We read the story And we read the last half of the story. They didn't know about the last half of the story when they're standing there before the king. They didn't know that. All they knew is what God told them not to do. They didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't have any message from God. They did not know what was going to happen. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The seed, the promised seed, was taken captive. The king's sons, including them, were eunuchs and captives. They had their future hope of the family taken from them when they were made eunuchs. The whole earth is worshiping this image, and they're about to die by being thrown in the fire. What is God doing? All the uncertainty. They did this without knowing the outcome. Without knowing what happens. You know, Job said, on the left hand he doth work, and I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, and I can't see him. They said, God's working. He's working on the left hand, and he's working on the right hand. And I don't understand what God is doing, but I know that he is doing the right thing, and I trust him. That's what Joseph did. That's what Daniel did. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Before God can promote you, he has to know that you trust him and want to please him more than you want to be promoted. I have a friend that teaches a Sunday school class and growing, and people are getting saved, and the pastor said, we're not going to do this anymore. And he called me and he's upset, and I said, remember that you trust the chief shepherd. And even if the under-shepherd is making a mistake, God can still work through the under-shepherd and his mistakes. And I said, I know you. And I know that God's going to use you. I know you want to be used of God. And I said, sometimes God shuts one door before he opens another. God doesn't leave doors open, Brother Gavino. When he walks through the building, he shuts the doors. You know? And everybody wants all these doors open. God has to shut some door before he opens the right one. And I said, the chief shepherd, he knows what he's doing. You just have to trust him. Right now, the door of their position of being in charge of the affairs of Babylon was closing. Esther said, I'm going in. If I perish, I perish. David was given three options, either to get famine and pestilence or to fall into the hand of the Lord. And he said, you know what? Let me fall into the hand of God, because his mercies are great, and I trust him. I don't want to be left at the mercy of man or nature. I want to be left at the mercy of God. See, if you trust God, it makes it easier to stand and do the right thing. And he'll deliver you. They said, he will deliver us. Sometimes death is that delivery. Harlan Popoff, there's a book called Tortured for His Faith. How many people have read it? That book, I read it when I was a teenager, and it made an impact on my life. You should read that book. And in that book, at the end of it, they took Popoff. They tortured him and tortured him and tortured him and tried to get him to lie and all this other stuff. And after days of torture, they grabbed him. They said, we've had enough of it. Today is the day you're going to die. And he said, they led me down this dark corridor. And I came outside. And it was dark. And the night air was around me. And he had a pistol in the back of my head the whole time. And he said, the guard's name was Elias. And he said, Popoff, this is your last chance. And he took me over to a wall. And he put me against the wall, and he said, I looked at the wall, and in front of the wall where my eyes were, there were chips of concrete that were blown out. And there was blood splatter. And he said, many people had died at that same spot. He said, death was in the air. And he said, the guard put the pistol in the back of my head. And he said, Popoff, today is the day you're going to die. You have three or four, he said, you have 4-5 seconds to recant. I'm going to count. And he said, he put the pistol back there and he cocked it. And he said, 1. And he said, there was a long pause between every number because he thought I was scared of death and wanted me to recant. And he said, 1. And it seemed like an eternity had passed. And he said, 2. And he said, the Holy Spirit came like he's never came before. And I said, within 3 seconds, I'm going to step into the presence of God. All this suffering's going to end. This prison is going to be over. And he said, my heart was so filled with joy. And faintly I heard him say, 3. Long pause. 4. And he said, the pause kept going on. And I screamed, you're taking too long. Shoot! Shoot! For I'll be in the presence of God. And he said, I jumped back from that. The guard jumped back, startled. Knocked him out and threw him back in the prison cell. And he said, I woke up and I was so full of sorrow that I didn't stand before God. And he understood on that day what it meant for God to deliver you one way or another. God's looking for people that He can trust to stand, that are willing to stand and trust Him more than circumstances. You know who's God looking to promote? A person that is willing to sacrifice. Look at that thing 13. Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded them to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you do not serve my God nor worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psalter, the dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image that I have made. Well, but if you worship it not, you shall be cast the same hour in the midst of a burning and fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now I want you to picture it. The music plays. They don't bow. They're arrested and brought before the king in haste, in his rage, in his fury. Please tell me that I misheard, the king says to them. Please tell me that I was wrong. They're arrested. They're standing before the throne of a king that was kind of insane. Tell me a dream, and if you don't tell me what I dreamed, I'm going to kill everybody that's a wise man, and because I want to know what this dream is. And if you don't tell me what this dream is, I'm just going to kill you. He's not a reasonable man. They're standing before this king. He's mad. They're rulers. They're in charge. They don't want to disappoint him. Please tell me I heard it wrong. I mean, in your position, I took you, servants, eunuchs, and I put you in charge. Remember what I've done for you. You know, sometimes not bowing is only the tip of the iceberg of what it's going to cost you to serve God. We think not bowing was hard, but it was the easy thing. We think not bowing is difficult. Remember this, whenever God is asking you to do something that you think is difficult, He really is going to ask you to do something that's more difficult, but you can't handle it, so He's only asking you for this. So no matter how hard this is, what He's going to ask me is harder, so I need to stop being a baby and do this, because where God's going is, it's so hard. That's like, if you only knew what I was going to ask you to do next. I mean, really. Not bowing? Now you're before the king and the furnace is right there. The devil always gives you a second chance to turn your back on God. He always gives you a second chance to turn your back on God. You of all people. And I love their answer. Listen, king. Look, there's no reason to push play. I mean, there's no reason to get the tape recorder out and push play. There's no reason for discussion here. Let me just let you know where we stand. In case there's any confusion, we're not bowing. We just want that to be perfectly clear. So if you're waiting for a test, if you're going to play some music, we just want to let you know where we stand. I think I would have dealt with it differently. Yeah, I'll get back to you. Let me go pray about it. Guys, please pray for me. My boss, you know, yeah, he wants me to do this thing and I'm not really comfortable with it. So if you guys will just play, I told him I'd get back to him. You know, I got to get back to him on Wednesday, but just play that he'll forget about it. They didn't do that. There was no reason for a prayer meeting. There was no discussion. We just want to be up front that we're not going to do it. Wow. Do you understand what's at stake? Your position, your possessions, and your precious life. Their faith didn't rest in what God did or did not do. It rested in who God was. And if your faith rests in what He does or does not do, you have a commercial faith. If you get angry at God when He does something you don't like or does not give you something you think you deserve, and you think God let you down and turned His back on you, I've read this Bible from cover to cover, and I read it enough times to know that God never let anybody down. But there's a whole lot of people that let Him down. They get mad when He doesn't give and when He doesn't heal and when He doesn't do what they want Him to do. And listen, who do you think you are? That's how the devil thinks. Job, you know, he only believes and he only serves you because you've blessed him so much. Look at this beautiful family he has and oh, what a nice spread. Look at that. He has a nice long driveway and he feels like Batman driving down it when he goes home. Well, beautiful. And he's rich. You know what, God, if you take all that away from him, he won't serve you anymore. And he took it all away. He lost it all in one day. He lost his family and his wife said, come in there and said, curse God and die. And he said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed, blessed, not cursed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Only a person with a commercial faith, when he loses something, complains. God doesn't love me anymore. What an infantile faith. Like a kid at a grocery store, give this to me. I want it. You don't love me! Grow up! He's God! We should worship Him and serve Him because He's God and He revealed Himself in the Scriptures, not because of what He does do and does not do. You ever have people ask you for prayer requests and they say, pray for me in this situation, and you think, yeah, I think they might not serve God if it goes the wrong way. You ever had that happen? You ever felt that way? It just seems like this person only wants to serve God. He wants to be a good time Charlie. That's not the faith that God's looking for. He's looking for a faith that's willing to trust Him and sacrifice. Look at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fear, even more than he was before. The form of his visage, there was steam coming out of his ears. It was changed against them. He went from, come on guys, listen, we really do it. Just do it for image sake. Just do it. This is a leadership thing, you just got to do it. It went from that to, I'm going to kill you. And he said, heat it seven times as hot. And you know what they did? They didn't flinch. There was no recanting. Verse 20, get the most mighty men and arrest them. They throw them on the ground and handcuff them. There's no flinching. Verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. You know what happened there? They sacrificed their life. Remember? They didn't know the rest of the story. Look at verse 17 very carefully. He said this, if so be our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, what's the next word? From. They didn't think about in. They thought about from. Once they went in, they thought God just decided not, that's okay, He decided not to deliver us. You know what happened when they went in? They sacrificed their life willingly for the cause of the Lord to do what's right and obey in spite of the circumstances and in spite of the consequences. All we know is we're not supposed to bow and we would rather be cinders than sinners. Look at verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that have trusted in Him, who have changed the king's word. And look what he says here. What does he say? Yielded their bodies. Doesn't that remind you of a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? That's what we're supposed to do. You know, God is looking to promote someone that is willing to sacrifice and give it all to Him. Before God can promote you, you have to give it all to Him. If you're willing to give up your position for the Lord, He'll give you a greater position. But if you're willing to give up God for your position, He'll take away what you have. Why? He doesn't want to build on the sand and promote a fool. But I know this fool. Listen, God works with us different than He does with them. You see who He exalts and who He casts down. You see people like Abraham. Take your Bible and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're almost done. You know what Abraham did? He got his Samsonite out of the attic. He started packing. And his servants came and they said, Moses, what are you doing? And he said, I'm going to go live with the Jews. They said, but you're a prince. You have a good education. You have a good job. He said, I'm giving it all up. They said, you're a fool. He said, no, I'm not. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than endure the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's who God promoted to be the head of Israel and bring them all the way to the edge of the promised land. Moses, who was willing to give up everything for God. Abraham, go, get out, leave your family, leave everyone, leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to Haran. He didn't say go to Haran, just go. Where am I going? I don't know. Abraham, what are you doing? I'm leaving. Where are you going? I don't know. You're a fool. I would rather do that than be at odds with God. And that's who God promotes. The Lord maketh poor and He maketh rich. He bringeth up and He casteth down. And that's what God does. And that's His business. And if you serve God, listen, if you serve God, you will eventually be promoted. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 that the saints will judge the world. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32, I want to show you something here. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, that's what it's about, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lion, that's Daniel, quenched the violence of fire, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured. Not others. Circle others. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, circle it, had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, nay, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. Others are the ones that God did not deliver, but He honored them just the same. And it says in verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute and afflicted and torment. Look at verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. You know what He did with them? He gave them a greater promotion than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there was no place on earth that He could promote them to. The world wasn't worthy of them. Listen, there's no one that God promotes that has not paid a price and been proven. You can have these great things happen, but you must be willing to sacrifice it all and pay a price. Salvation is free, but the power of God and being promoted in the work of God will cost you. And being promoted in the work of God doesn't always mean something at church. Sometimes it means, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, being promoted at work or in government. But they were willing to pay the price. If you pass the test, the Lord will be with you in the furnace. It's better to be with God in the furnace than to serve the devil in the palace. Because that He acknowledged God, the king did, He acknowledged their sacrifice and ruled in their favor. And God said on that day, a man that is that principled is someone I can trust in the highest office of the land. Watch it. Not because of what it'll do for them, but because of the policies they can put in place for my people, the Jews. That's why it was important. It was important to have these Jews in government. Right? Because of the policies that would bring about Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. It's better to go into the furnace of fire because you trusted God than into the lake of fire because you have not trusted God. And one day, there's going to be a furnace roaring. And instead of the king casting people that bow to God in the furnace, God is going to be on the throne. And He is going to cast people that bow to the image into the furnace. And the tables are going to reverse. And every fraud is coming out on that day. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? Because this dramatic scene will unfold in your life, but it'll be God on the throne instead of Nebuchadnezzar. You want to be promoted? God's the one that does the promoting in the kingdom of God with us. It works differently with them, but with us, it's different. You have to be willing to suffer. You have to be willing to stand. And you have to be willing to sacrifice. If I can have the piano player come forward, if you'll bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe you've been struggling with this. Maybe you've been thinking about it at work and leadership. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe you've been wondering why. What's going on? Can God trust you? You willing to suffer? You willing to stand? You willing to sacrifice? If God spoke to your heart, there's an altar.